When we are our best selves, and when it comes to our own nearest and dearest, our kith and kin, our own families, and the circle of our friends, we all understand how important it is to love the people God has given us to love. But the shocking, the amazing, the radical message of the gospel is that that kind of love should also be shown to our neighbors, to strangers, folks we've never met, and even to our enemies. Today's gospel continues that core teaching of Jesus. It picks up where last Sunday's gospel ended. We are still listening to Luke's version of the so-called Sermon on the Plain. In this scripture, we hear one of the most important messages our Savior ever preached. Now, we all know Jesus was the greatest preacher who ever lived and the most brilliant teacher who ever gave an instruction. But he doesn't have that reputation because he was timid, or because he usually beat around the bush, or by not saying the very things we need to hear, no matter how challenging his words might sound to us. Jesus commands his disciples, love not only your family and friends, your benefactors and close neighbors, but love everyone. Love even your enemies. Love even those who hate you and curse you and mistreat you. His disciples, that means all of us, are supposed to be folks who build our lives around the foundational gift from God, which is His love for us, His mercy for us, which He freely and graciously offers to everyone. Now, there is a technical word for this gospel love. It is a word actually used 250 times in the New Testament, so it must be very important. And that word is agape. Agape is the unmerited, the undeserved, the totally gratuitous gift of love that God our Father, our Abba, has for each one of us, and that we are called by that same Abba to have for one another. Now let's think about it for a second. There is no particular good reason why God loves us, why God forgives us. Remember, only God is God. And God, by definition, is totally self-sufficient. He needs no one or nothing. So God loves us not because He needs to, but because He wants to. God is loving by His own nature. And when we claim to be His people, His possession, we are also supposed to be loving and forgiving to one another in imitation of our good and loving God. Christians, those who know Jesus Christ in our lives and are loved and forgiven by Him, we are supposed to turn over the job of judging, of passing out either rewards or punishments. Turn that job over to Almighty God, because God alone is perfectly good. God alone is omniscient. That means He knows everything. He reads the innermost secrets of our hearts, of everyone's heart. And then He alone is capable of judging wisely and correctly. We know we're finite human beings. We have all sorts of limitations. We are very often wrong, both about ourselves and about one another. So we shouldn't have divine expectations asking other people to be God, or divine expectations about ourselves thinking we are God. They wouldn't put erasers on pencils if we didn't all make mistakes all the time. So if we want perfection, we should look to the perfect God. But if we value the people God has created and redeemed and put before our sight, we should get into the habit of loving and forgiving and forgetting. After all, we all like it when we have sinned, we're guilty as can be, but God forgives us. And we all certainly want even other people, when we're guilty, we're wrong, we've done something terrible to somebody else, and they turn around and love us and forgive us. So Jesus challenges us to treat other people exactly the same way we like to be treated. If we call God our Father, and that is our right through our baptism in Jesus Christ, but that logically would direct us to treat the entire human family as our brothers and our sisters, deserving our love and attention, loving them, forgiving them, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek, in just the same way we try to do with husbands and wives, with parents and children, with brothers and sisters, with our close friends. That is a way of living we should have directed towards everyone. It embodies, it demonstrates, it shows to the world we belong to Christ, and that Christ, out of sheer goodness and abundant mercy, He alone is the wise judge who at the end of time and history will make all things clear. And this habit of compassion, this way of thinking and acting towards other people, actually would be a great blessing in our lives, a kind of liberation, setting us free from the often heavy burden of hatred and bitterness. Hate is a caustic acid. It's destructive. Think about it. When we hate somebody, half the time we're making our enemies happy. They've pressed our button. They've got us. We carry around that burden. It might be with members of our family, with our neighbors, with people we work with. And they might be bums. But if we are filled with hate, we're the ones being punished right now. Remember King David of old, whom we heard about in today's first reading? Saul had done him wrong. He'd be playing his harp and Saul threw a spear at him. Saul chased his family to live with the Philistines in the city of Gath. Saul and his army followed David everywhere. And David, as is recorded in today's first reading, had him in his clutches. He was right next to where he was sleeping. He could have thrust that spear right through Saul's heart. But David said, "I will not harm the Lord's anointed." He left to God judgment against Saul. Remember, the measure we measure out will be measured back to us by God. Now, there's all sorts of times parents have to make a judgment and sometimes give children the consequences of their bad choices. Teachers can't give grade A to everyone, sometimes have to pass out a C, a D, or even an F. Judges and policemen all have to sometimes do the hard thing. Employers sometimes have to let people go because they aren't working. There are all sorts of things in our everyday life where we must sometimes do the hard thing. But Christians leave the ultimate judgments to God. Christians try to live by love as the greatest force in the universe. So when we are able, we should over and over again put the mercy and love that is from our God to work in our lives. Jesus, of course, is our model for trusting in God the Father and living by the power of His love. He who had the universe in His hands, remember, He stood before Pilate in that dreadful place of human judgment. He stood where we all belong. He endured the blows and the spitting of the wicked and the ignorant. His sinless hands were nailed to the cross. And in His dying moments, He forgave those who crucified Him. Jesus paid the price. Jesus offered atonement. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus gives us the example. And that is the example of selfless, triumphant love. That love which we celebrate especially every time we are before this altar at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We proclaim His life-giving death, His wondrous, endless love, until He appears again in glory in the most holy Eucharist. That one perfect sacrifice of Jesus is available to us, is truly made present in all its richness of grace, all its abundance of mercy. All that the Lord has won for us is offered as our food and drink. This incomparable grace is truly poured out in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We have no words that can describe this amazing grace. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us try to be a bit more radical, a lot more open-ended in our love and forgiveness, because God asks it of us, and because God has given us that same gift. Let us try to do good without expecting payment. Let us try to treat each other, one another, as we love to be treated. Let us claim our right to be children of the Most High God. And let us enjoy being brothers and sisters to one another.